The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
I'm lost.
Hey, there's the intro button. There we go. All right. Mike Walsh here, Bird's Eye View. Welcome into the show. We're talking local sports. Jesse is out of town. He was out of town for Passover last night, so happy Passover. Did you say happy Passover to folks? We're not of that faith, so hopefully that's not offensive. Dylan Thompson's here. He's going to join me. Dylan, also a reporter at the Berkshire Eagle, does some sports work, does some GA work, general assignment, as it were. Henry's going to be wandering around, so I'm going to try to run the board while making sure he doesn't push any buttons and I don't push any wrong buttons. But anyway, what's up in your world? How are things?
Well, on the Passover front, I attended my first Seder last night.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, one of our fellow...
You have a little bit of experience with this.
Yeah, one of our fellow reporters, Talia Lissauer, she celebrates, so I attended last night. It was cool. Got to try some brisket and participate in the singing and the...
Okay, it's like a like singing food party kind of deal?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And it just happens like at a house? Like.
Yeah, okay. She since she's not near any family, she wanted a lot of us to come over and just experience it with her, so it was cool.
Okay, I'm always fascinated. I went to a few of those kind of things, as like bar mitzvahs and such, as a younger person, but not a whole lot of religious experience of late. Though it is Easter coming up at Easter weekend, so I imagine we'll be at Mass at some point this weekend.
Yeah,
as my family still does that kind of thing. Howard Herman calling me on the line. I don't think he's trying to get on the radio though. Though we had some kind of, speaking of Howard, some breaking news yesterday. The upcoming Taconic Pittsfield High School football co-op, they will be joining Pittsfield and Taconic this coming fall for football season. And the coach was announced as Brian Jezuski, which is depending on what your familiarity with the whole situation is, might be a complete shock, as it was to both reporters who messaged me the news yesterday, or it might just be like, yeah, of course, he's been the football coach in Pittsfield forever. But he, there were things like, oh, like he's probably going to retire, step down, just be done with it. And then last year we had this situation where, like, it was no great secret that Pittsfield Taconic were nearing a co-op, at least in our world of where we're paying attention to local sports every day. So that news breaking wasn't a shock to us. But then they were like, yeah, we're going to open up the whole coaching. Like, anyone can apply. We're going to do this right. And yeah, I think most of us just kind of thought like Jezuski was probably going to be done. He's been doing this for a long time. Pittsfield and Taconic were both 1-7 last year, I want to say. So it just seemed like he was kind of finished. and I guess I'm excited for it in that like he was clearly the best. Like he's clearly one of the top coaches in Berkshire County in Western Mass, and just continuity wise, he always runs a really really good program. The results haven't always been there. He does have a Western Mass title. They were 7-1 2 years ago, but didn't get into the tournament. If you remember that whole ordeal of the statewide stuff, and obviously that they were not very successful last year in a full rebuild. But it was just a numbers thing where Pittsfield wasn't getting the numbers out. And now they're going to link up with a Taconic program that has plenty of numbers. And I guess, yeah, the powers that be there feel like Jezuski has the both like the coaching know-how and the ability. It's going to be a very unique, he said it in the story, a very unique situation to be like when they first step into that room together. Yeah, it's just going to be a little bizarre. And I mean, writing the headline was bizarre. Like, I used a pull quote from him, and I had to like credit the pull quote to Brian Jezuski, Taconic football coach, which didn't sound right. But here we are, and here he goes.
For me, there was no other option but Jezuski, because
yeah, you don't really know who applied or anything, but yeah,
because that's why it wasn't a shock to me, because he mm-hmm. just seems like the most perfect choice in terms of like the challenge going in is going to be okay. Pittsfield guys and Taconic guys, can they coexist? Can they come together? What better coach is greater at making a brotherhood or a family than that's Brian Jezuski? And he's the perfect guy to say, okay, guys, you're gonna have to come together now. We're no longer rivals. We're no longer competing. We're one. And that's why, to me, he was the perfect choice going in.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Is that that's kind of who he is, who he's been. And yeah, he definitely used the word brotherhood. He's big into that lexicon stuff. So, social media reaction wise, it seemed similar. Like, you know, that's why I said, like, if you weren't super familiar with it, you probably weren't all that shocked, because Brian Jezuski and Pittsfield football are synonymous. But people are excited to see what that co-op would be capable of. Let's hold the phone here. They were both 1-7 last year. So, you know, thinking this team's just going to run over everyone in their league, on their schedule is probably a misconception. Jesse was telling me that Lee, I guess, dropped them from their schedule. So that's an open hole on it right now. But they're going to play in Pittsfield's league, which is pretty tough, which has, you know, the Waconas in it. Yeah, I don't know what it'll look like. Taconic's top players are probably mostly graduating from last year. If you just look, I mean, just the Eddie Ferris was probably the top football player in the city last year. But both had kind of young guys and young girl in key positions. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see what it's like. But you're right. He if you're going to have somebody unify a group of kids, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody, I guess, better, more experienced at it than Brian Jezuski.
What color uniforms are they wearing?
They will be. I mean, they'll be in. They are Taconic Thunder, so I imagine they'll just wear the Taconic uniforms, unless the city's splurging on some. I mean, I should know this because I have a 5-year-old. But what do you get when you mix purple and like green together? That's probably just some ugly brown at that point. You're not mixing primary colors to get something fancy. It happens. Like the Taconic wrestling team is those two and Wakona. So it has happened. It's just football's like, I think football's a little different. And obviously it's happened. It's like we have all these co-ops everywhere. Hoosick just took on Greylock and Drury. And those are just as you would view, you know, basketball season as just as heated of a rivalry as Pittsfield Taconic, Hoosick Drury. So those kids coexisting. There are cases of this working out just fine. But it's going to be a different kind of deal for the city, the crowd. I'm very curious what the crowd is going to look like. These kind of warring factions are going to be rooting for the same side. So I'm excited that maybe we get full, you know, full strong crowd, like a Pittsfield Taconic game. We get that crowd for every game that this team plays in the fall. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was kind of the breaking news yesterday. We've had a bit of a slow limping start, as we do every year, to the spring sports season. I was just telling Dylan, I think like 3 softball games have happened. One of them did happen last night. Taconic won its opener against Drury. Drury's opener as well. I think it's been 3 or 4. There's been probably 8 to 10 baseball games, games that have taken place in Berkshire County. That number might be 1, if I don't know that any have actually taken place in Berkshire County. And we've had we've had a good amount of lacrosse so far, and that's where Dylan comes in here. He did kind of work through our lacrosse previews, and I was at Mount Greylock Boys and Lennox Boys last night, both of their second games, but both were coming off these kind of blowouts. Lennox got blown out at South Hadley, and Greylock rolled up 20. I think they beat McCann like 20-2 or something in their opener. And this one wound up being a 6-4 game for Lennox. So there's some intrigue there. Hoosick also beat up on McCann Boys in their opener, and Hoosick is the 2-time reigning Class C champion. So it's kind of a, we're viewing all these teams as who can come for who's current seat at the table. And I don't know that I saw any, I don't know that either team I saw last night is currently capable of that. At least what Huzik was last year, but Huzik probably isn't Huzik last year. So there's potential for, yeah, this real battle coming. I don't think Greylock's in that class, so they take that for what you will, just, you know, talking best teams in the county, as it were. But some intrigue there, I guess, to see who can grab, like, this. The county seat kind of does transfer here and there. Greylock had it, Wakona had it, now Huzik has it. Lennox had it maybe for a year there, but then, you know, lost the belt, so to speak. So what was the most, I guess, what excited you most about the preview for boys? What intrigued you most? Any fun notes?
I think Huzik, the fact that they lost the majority of their defense, but then they have a guy like Jacob Orosky coming back, who's now ready.
State wrestling champion.
Yeah, like in
all Berkshire Defensive Player of the Year, I think, for football. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, now you just force him in there, and it's like, yeah, we're going to be relying heavily on him, but he didn't really play much last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just the offensive firepower that Huzik's bringing back with Aiden Wicks and Cam Odvar and Jaden Tatro, Kamarian Kastner, and even have their senior goalie back, Max Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this is a team where you go in and it's like, yeah, they should be the favorite for a three-peat, which is pretty cool to think about, like, to try to go three-peat in Class C.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, not a lot, but a good amount of high-level talent back individually. The depth of these teams probably isn't what we've seen in the Huzik's of the past, definitely in Wakona in their state title year, or Greylock back when they were kind of running the show here. Let's not touch those, buddy. Yeah. Because, so coming off of last night's game, like, okay, Lennox has Oliver Kirby. They have Jeffrey Larman in net. These are kind of high-level guys who've been doing it for years. Greylock doesn't quite have that. They're a little younger, but they have some real high-level talent. It's just they're very small, and ultimately Lennox's physicality defensively probably won them the game, because Greylock had four or five chances to tie in the final, like, 3 minutes or so. Also a bit of, like just minor composure stuff for Greylock. They're, like, arguably their top offensive player. I believe he was, technically ejected. He got two flags on one play and then didn't play again, so I'm assuming that's an ejection. Again, I'm not super in-depth with the rules on it, but either way, he was kind of, like, it was a two-minute penalty. And he didn't play again. So for the final 4 minutes of the game, Greylock kind of has an offensive hand tied behind their back, and they were down by a goal at that point, wind up losing 6-4 by two. Didn't score in the fourth quarter. So, but yeah, like those guys you said on Huzik, but I don't know that Huzik has the crazy numbers to kind of populate a full field with guys who are high-level lacrosse players. Same with them. Wakona's a bit of a mystery. Almost kind of by their own doing, it's almost a fault of how good they were 3-4 years ago, in that they elevated into these leagues where they're not playing the Berkshire teams as much. I believe they're playing some good Berkshire teams this year, but over the past 3 years or so, they've been kind of on their own. So we don't really see them matching up, but they picked up Kessler and Nello at 5 goals, 2 assists. I think, Isaac Gagne had a hat trick, and they picked up a win. I believe they're 1-1 as well. They beat Munson by one.
Yeah, I think one thing I noticed during the previews for both boys and girls is just a lot of rebuilding going on this year on both sides for boys and girls.
Yeah, girls-wise, like so Greylock had their first game, and they rolled through South Hadley. They have a D1 player in Megan Lagerwall.
I think they're the best team.
Yes.
Like, for boys or girls this year, I think Greylock girls is probably the best team, either side.
Yes, I would say, yeah, the team with the most. They were in the Western Mass Final last year, lost it. I believe they dropped back down to Class C this year. They had played up in Class B for a couple years. Okay.
So they should run that, then.
Yeah.
They should run Class C.
Yeah. They have a lot of returning talent. And we really haven't seen much of, the other, like, McCann looks pretty solid. This is their third or fourth year of having a program, so it's fun to see that kind of develop into something. It's where the Greylock boys are in their second year back as a program. But, all right, we are going to take a quick break while I wrestle this kid. But we will be right back with Bird's Eye View talking local sports mostly.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
All right. Well, welcome back in. Hopefully he's not yanking out any cords or doing anything super important in here. But Bird's Eye View coming at you here on WTBR and WSBR Lee. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. I'm Mike Walsh, Dylan Thompson here as well. There's just not a ton to talk about. So I was just thinking, like, I had this weekend, and the power of like sports and doing stuff was kind of never more clear to me than this weekend, where last week was like rough. I got like super angry and grumpy and was just kind of pissed off at the world for a little while. And then I went to, Friday night, went to the Celtics game with my dad, which is great. Celtics killing it still. They hung like 150 last night on Miami. Saturday, I did a hike lap at Berkshire East, hiked up, snowboarded down, and then Sunday I did like what you can basically call a Mike Walsh triathlon of I joined the adult basketball league at the Y, so I had a game in the morning, then went and rollerbladed on the Ashuwiltecook Rail Trail with my 5-year-old riding his bike, and then he and I went to Bosque for closing day. We were, I believe, literally the last ones down Bosque before they shut down operations for the season. We were able to kind of sneak onto a chairlift because the carpet was closed at the time. And he goes, I'm 5 now. I can go on the chairlift. I'm like, all right, that's going to be a pain for me because, my back afterwards was brutal. But I had to essentially kind of carry him down the mountain with me as we went down. But just kind of being able to get out and do that stuff, like, totally cleared me out and started the week all happy and giddy, pretty much. But
nice.
I loved being able to get out there. It's been a challenging winter snowboarding season, mostly because this guy, who's like Dennis the Menace, staring at me as he threatens to pull cords out of the wall right now. but to get into these, I did write a column about kind of just hike laps and the joy you can get from it. It's really just comes down to like exercise, and I am thinking, like, looking ahead to the races that'll be upcoming. We'll have the Steel Rail Half Marathon is like 45 days out right now. It's May 17th, I want to say. May Day races will be coming up first week into May. There'll be some other kind of minor events popping up as the running season gets going in Berkshire County. And I think I've decided to just like not put the pressure on to do those things, but I do want to do some of them. It's just like the Steel Rail thing is just, I think it's too much for me right now. But I'm excited to get those going and go out and cover some of those, I think is where I'm at right now. Anyway, that's a brief look into my into my life. Elsewhere in Berkshire County sports, we have, like I said, a little bit of softball, like a very, like a moose boosh of softball happening right now. And baseball has been going a little bit. We did have, unfortunately, two big games were rained out yesterday. Both Pittsfield and Taconic did not play. Taconic was supposed to play Drury. Taconic has had a rough start to the season, but Quentin Christopher hasn't pitched yet. I imagine he was going to be going in the Drury game if healthy, and that would have been Drury's opener as well. Drury, another Final 14, the reigning Class C champion. Pittsfield's won twice big, but both have been on the road. We do have Pittsfield Taconic scheduled for tomorrow, which is a little bizarre this early in the season. That will be, I believe that one's at Taconic, and then Pittsfield Taconic softball on Saturday is at Pittsfield High. So we have some we have some high-level matchups coming in. My goodness, my phone is going off again. Sorry, everybody. Where was I? Baseball?
Baseball, Taconic, softball on Saturday against PHS.
Yeah, so we have those rivalry matchups coming up. I think a lot of games are going to, unfortunately, rainy again today. So I think a lot of that's going to get wiped out yet again today. And it'll just be kind of a limping, slow start, which always winds up backing teams up to the point where you're getting concerned about pitching. Sorry, something's making noise over here now that I'm concerned. Hey. Anyway, I think I'm at a loss for stuff to talk about now. What's going on in your world?
Well, I wanted to ask you, you've been watching the tournament this year, basketball?
So the first couple days, yes. And then I think I might be, I believe I saw that ratings are super high, which somewhat surprised me because I'm in the boat where, like, yeah, like, there's the storylines aren't doing it for me.
Really?
And I don't know that that's like, the mid-major of it all or where I come from, where you come from in it. But, yeah, like, I obviously, I saw the UConn ending. I watched Deion Brown the first couple games that he was in it with St. Louis, the Monument Mountain kid. And, I was, yeah, like, I've been popping in and out, but no, it hasn't grabbed me. It hasn't grabbed me to the level of, and that might be more of a case of where I am in life, but.
I'm super excited for this weekend's Final Four. I mean,
yeah.
That Arizona-Michigan game is, on paper, one of the best Final Four games that I can think of in my lifetime in terms of an on-paper, like,
okay.
Firepower matchup.
Can you, like, so I honestly couldn't name you a single player in that game. And that's, at the Celtics game with my dad, we were talking because they were playing, were they playing? Let's see. I don't even remember. They were playing Zachary Risa Shea.
They're playing the Hawks.
The Hawks. Okay. Yeah. And Risa Shea was the number one overall pick in the NBA 2 years ago, I want to say. In
2024.
And he was like coming off the bench. He was like, and I'm like, oh, that guy was the number one pick. And he's like, that guy kind of stinks. Well, yeah, I guess he's young and French or something. But I was like, we were talking about the tournament a little bit and just viewing it through an NBA lens. Like there's nobody of the like that grabbed the Cooper flag kind of deal. Like the Boozer guy.
I mean, I know
some of the names, but I don't
know. This year's freshman class is like one of the best of this century.
Really? Because I can't name a, I don't know that I can name other than the Boozer kid.
I mean, just from the tournament this year, there's Cameron Boozer at Duke. There's AJ DeBonsa at BYU. Darius Acuff at Arkansas.
BYU. Okay.
Yeah. Darren Peterson at Kansas.
Maybe I'm just not paying attention to that because these names have not
like all the guys that are
going to
all the guys that are going to be like the top five picks were in the tournament this year, pretty much.
Okay. And are they like, are they going to be good NBA players?
Yeah. There's people that are comparing this class to like the 03 class that had LeBron and D Wade and Chris Bosh and Carmelo. Like, this seems absurd,
but okay.
This is one of those like once every 10, 15 year drafts that's like, and we pretty much got to watch almost all these guys.
Okay, so maybe it's a case of there's more guys than just the one guy, because I feel like Cooper Flagg's name was a household name prior to him getting to the NBA. These guys, I don't feel like they haven't crossed over for me, like I said, other than like Carlos Boozer's twins.
But then the funny part is that like Cooper Flagg is probably not even going to win Rookie of the Year this year.
His teammate, John Knipple. Who's like another name, though? I feel like those names cross over a little more. I don't know. Yeah, like maybe it was a virtue of also like the coaches got to like the Dan Hurley stuff. And obviously having Rick Pitino back in like a Sweet 16 was somewhat noteworthy. So I don't know. Maybe it's just my own fault. I haven't been paying enough attention. But the names when we were like talking from an NBA perspective, the names didn't strike me. Also, yeah. Like none of these guys are going to play for the Celtics, so I don't really care at the moment. Yeah. I'll watch it. Yeah, I think I'll watch some Final Four stuff.
If you miss the UConn-Illinois game, that's fine. But tune in for Michigan-Arizona. That game is going to be a classic, I think.
Okay.
That's the nightcap. That's like the 8:45 game on Saturday night.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Heading into Easter weekend. That's all doable.
And then I got to ask you, how do you feel about the Patriots? What's your offseason meter on them right now?
I like tangentially saw everything that went down with the, like, I don't want to talk too much about it, but the Trevion Henderson stuff seems kind of like batty.
Oh, I haven't followed any of that.
He went on some NBA player went on some rant and got, now he's waived. And Trevion was, I believe, commenting on it, and Mike Vrabel is now commenting on it. And I'm like, okay, where are we going? What are we doing with all this? I honestly don't have a giant take on it.
Were you upset they let go of Diggs?
Diggs is the one thing of like some concern. But it's different. I'm hopeful that it's different now, and that was always the Patriots' like Achilles heel, was drafting wide receivers and having wide receivers. And if it's not a 5'10 white guy, like, I don't know that we can have faith in anybody.
Do you want AJ Brown? Because I personally don't.
No, probably not. I think you have enough faith now that Drake May can kind of figure out like and make guys better, as opposed to he needs this big name Stephon Diggs. Diggs had a solid season, but at the end of the day, like, he was kind of just another guy that was catching passes from the quarterback, took the leap.
And he was making guys better last year. It's just
exactly.
By the end of the season, he's running for his life and getting... He's dropping back.
There are far more pressing needs. And again, hopefully that's just like young guys getting better at their professional jobs now. But no, I don't think you have to go out and get... I mean, any kind of big name receiver. I think he's good enough now that he can... figure it out, and he has other security blankets, the tight ends and everything. Mm-hmm. And if you know, Ramondre and Trevion continue doing what they do, that's where that was like concerning. Like, oh my god, is this guy crazy? Is this gonna be another like there was something like concern with Diggs was like gonna be in jail late in the season. I don't know that you need to invite a ton of that into a culture that clearly is set for the next 10 years here. Like, you know, this is a thing now that you can just accent to get where you want to go. You don't have to make any giant sweeping changes, any giant, you know, rock the boat signings. I don't think. I mean, you were in the Super Bowl, but like, hard to argue with that. Professionally speaking, like, the Red Sox have kind of gotten underway as well. They have their home opener tomorrow. Howard will be out there for that. That may have been what he was calling me about.
I mean, Howard's walking into a team that's already becoming a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Lost five straight after winning the opener.
It doesn't look super well. That was coming off the opener. I was like, well, okay, we have one guy who can pitch.
And it's like they're already scratching good players in the lineup, like Roman Anthony scratched from the lineup
Roman
yesterday.
Anthony scratched. Like, I remember the mayor guy like wasn't starting because he's kind of who knows. That's why we have all our faith in the Boston Celtics. to continue doing this. And that was quickly just seeing that game. That was my first time seeing them in person this year. And obviously Tatum was back. Brown was not playing. But it's going to be a hair-raising playoffs, I think. Like, because... if you think back to 2 years ago, they were just like outright. They were better than everyone. Like,
they never were. It was never in doubt.
They were just better than everyone.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Like, one and two are probably better than anyone they're going to run into. After that, it's a little scary. Like, coming off the Oklahoma City game, which was earlier last week, where they won, and you're like looking at the rosters, like, how the heck, how the heck are they going to do this? Like, we're counting on some guys. Like, the game I saw, Jordan Walsh played, I think, more minutes than he played in 2 months. But he looked really good. So I guess just the depth is going to kind of hold him through. But, all right, that's kind of all the time we have today. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bird's Eye View, Dylan Thompson, thanks for joining me. I'm Mike Walsh. I'm going to try to turn on the music again. So here we go.